Lord for that. Exodus 33, if you will. Exodus 33. And we're going to be looking at verse 7 through 10 here tonight. And Exodus chapter 33, verse 7 through 10. And we have been going through the book of Exodus, and we just came through the beginning of chapter 33, and we saw there that God was not happy with the sin of the people. And we mentioned some things last week about what these people had lost simply because of their sin. And we're going to see another piece of that, if you will, here tonight. So Exodus 33, starting in verse 7, reading through verse 10, the Bible says this: "And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door." Now, I want us to notice some things about this passage here tonight, and we're going to be looking at these things here in just a moment. But remember, if you will, that these people, they had lost so many things. They had lost their joy, and of course, the presence of the Lord right there with them. He told them that He would not go, but He would send an angel, and all of these things, all because of their sin. But now we see that even after all of that, even after they lost all of those things, we see that Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp. So let's have a word of prayer, and we will get started with the message this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You tonight, and Lord, we just thank You, Lord, for everything that You've done for us. Lord, what a wonderful day You've given us thus far, and I pray that You would be with us throughout this message tonight. Lord, I pray that each one of us would draw closer to You, and Lord, as we just study Your Word, I pray that You would make us, Lord, even more fervent disciples of You. Lord, I pray that when we leave this place, Lord, we would just have the love of God all around us. Lord, I pray that we would just be encouraged and challenged as well, Lord, to tell others about You. And ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Notice here, as we look at this passage, we see that Israel, because of their sin, they had consequences to the decisions that they made. Now, this is going back here just a little ways to the time in which Moses and Joshua, they were up on the mountain there, they were talking with God, and God had given them the Ten Commandments, the two tables of stone there. And as God told them, He said that the people, they had turned to idolatry, they've made this golden calf, they're doing everything against Me. He told Moses and Joshua, He said, "Go get thee down, for the people have corrupted themselves." And as they're on their way down the mountain, they start hearing this sound, and Joshua says, "It's as of the sound of war." They get down there and they find out that the people, sure enough, had turned to idolatry. They had built this golden calf. And notice it says in the scriptures, it mentions the people building it, and also Aaron building it. Aaron built the calf, but it was because of the will of the people. Everyone was involved in that. There was no one that was there that was not involved in this idolatry there. No, it was everyone's fault. They were involved in the sin. We cannot blame our sin on anyone but ourselves. Amen. But notice here, Moses comes down. He's not happy. He comes to Aaron. He confronts him about that. And also, he put the golden calf into the fire and ground it into powder and polluted the water there. The people had to drink that water. And then after that, after all of those things, God decides that His wrath is still hot against these people. Moses goes before the Lord. He goes before Him and he pleads with the Lord. And he tells the Lord that yes, these people have sinned a great sin. But in verse 32 of chapter 32, he says, "Yet now, if Thou wilt forgive their sins." Moses goes to the Lord before these people and asks the Lord to forgive their sins. Praise the Lord that our Lord is faithful and just. Amen. It says there in verse 35, and the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. This is a perfect example of just because a person gets saved does not mean the consequences of their sins are going away. Now they're saved, they're not going to have to spend an eternity in hell any longer, but there's still consequences that we have to live with. Some people that have lived in sin, and because of that, it has destroyed certain parts of their body and all of that. Just because they get saved does not mean that the parts of their body that are destroyed, it doesn't mean they start functioning well again. No, it's a consequence of their sin. They have to live with that. These people here, the Lord plagued them. Then the Lord, of course, He talked to Moses, and He told him in verse 1 of chapter 33 to go up hence. He said, and the people which thou hast brought out of the land of Egypt unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. So God is keeping His promise here. It was an unconditional covenant that God was keeping here. He told them, I will give you the land, the seed, and the blessing. We see throughout the Bible, we see two types of covenants. We see conditional and unconditional. The unconditional was when God said, I will do this. End of story. The conditional covenant is when God says, if you do this, then I will do this. Just like when the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise from God Himself. If you call upon God, you trust Him as your Savior, guess what? He's going to save your soul. Praise the Lord for that. God is going to keep His promise to His people. And notice here, He tells Moses exactly what's going to happen here. But we also know that sin will cost us a very steep price. But as we continue through this chapter, we see a situation that's going on here. We see Moses, he speaks to God in the beginning of chapter 33, and we're let in, if you will, on that conversation there. And notice we're given a peek into this, and as we look into this, into these things that come out of this conversation here in verse 7 through 10, I want to preach to you a message that I've entitled this. Going before the Lord. Going before the Lord. Now notice here, the Lord is speaking unto Moses in verse 1. But we see that Moses does something in verse 7. And we're going to see this is something that is done because of the sin of the people. God said in, let me find it here, I believe it was in verse 3, notice of chapter 33, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Notice, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. The tabernacle is going to be taken out from these people here. Now, notice, first of all, in going before the Lord, notice, first of all, the place that is mentioned. Here in verse 7 and 8, it says, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and the tabernacle of the and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. Now, I'm going to stop there for just a moment. We'll get to verse 8 here in just a little while. But I want you to notice there, at the very end of that verse, it says, and everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. Notice this place that we see in which this was mentioned here. Moses, he took the tabernacle, and this tabernacle, the tabernacle that we're reading here, this is not the tabernacle. We're going to be doing some studying of that as we go through the scripture. This is not the tabernacle, but this is a tabernacle, a tent that is set up for the very specific purpose of going before the Lord, of coming before God Almighty. This is one where people would go to worship God. This is not where the Holy of Holies that we speak of, this is not where that in and of itself was set up. This tabernacle was taken. It was pitched without the camp. It was in the camp before, but now, after the judgment on sin, it's taken out of the camp. The place in which people could go before the Lord was removed from them. It was taken away from where they lived at. This was symbolic here of the judgment of God and being removed from the people. Of course, after repentance there, notice God said that I will not go up with you. Notice he said, because you are a stiff-necked people, lest I consume you in the way. God knew that these people, as we see here, Moses went to the Lord for these people, and the Lord, though he was angry at the sin, of course, he's a very forgiving God, and praise the Lord, because I need forgiveness and you need forgiveness, amen? We need cleansing from our sin. So notice here, we see a couple of things here in this passage, that the tabernacle being taken out could have been symbolic of the judgment of God being removed from the people. That sin is removed from them. But also, notice, this was a lesson that was being taught unto the people, that if sin is not dealt with, the presence of God is taken from the camp. We talked about that a little bit last week. What sin is going to cost you, it's going to cost you the presence of God. It's going to cost you that sweet communion that we as believers can have with God. It's going to be taken out of the camp, so to speak. But notice here, this was taken out of the camp, and it says that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. You know, sin is going to cost us something. It's going to cost us our testimony. It's going to cost us our joy. But most importantly, it will cost us the presence of Almighty God, the place in which they could worship. It was far removed from them. You know, when you hear someone who claims to be a believer and they say this, well, I just feel like I'm so far removed from God. Well, you better check yourself then. Because God said in His Word that if we draw nigh unto Him, then He will draw nigh unto us. God's presence is there. It's there for us. It's there. We're only as close to God as we desire to be.
Yes.
Notice there, the tabernacle was taken out. And to go before the Lord, second of all, not only the place that we saw there, but notice to go before the Lord, notice the effort that is explained. Look at verse 7, if you will. Notice what the Bible says. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. Verse 8. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. So notice here, we see exactly what's happening. We see the... Imagine this here being the camp, and Moses, he comes out and he takes the tabernacle and he packs it all together, which was no small task. It was a large tent, I'm sure. And he picks it up and he takes it out of the camp. And can you see the people as the tabernacle is removed from them and they're standing in their tent door, knowing the place in which they're supposed to worship the Lord has now been taken away? Imagine what the people are thinking at this time. Imagine as they're standing there, and there's not a doubt in my mind. They know that this is part of the judgment of God on their sin. The tabernacle was here. There was a time in which they could walk out of their door and be there at the tabernacle and worship God in this place. But now there's a little more effort that's going to be involved. There's something they're going to have to do. Everyone that wanted to seek the Lord, the Bible says there that everyone that sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle. They had to go out there. What we see in today's day and age is this. People say, well, I want to seek the Lord. I want God to speak to me. But yet we see very little effort put forth. Very little effort. Well, I want God to speak to me. Oh, well, I don't have time to read the Word of God, though. Well, I want God to speak to me, and I'm so glad that someone else is praying for me because I just don't have time. You see, you're going to have to put an effort forth if we're to go before the Lord. Yes, we have the priesthood of the believer. Yes, we can go before the throne of grace and praise the Lord. The Bible says that we can go boldly before the throne of grace. But it's something that we must put some effort into. It's not something that we should do half-heartedly. No, it's something that each and every one of us need to understand. These people here, the tabernacle is right there for them. They could go before the Lord, but now the tabernacle has been removed from them, and they have to make the decision. If I want to seek the Lord, there's things that I have to do. We need to put forth an effort to seek the Lord. Church, we cannot live the victorious Christian life if we're not seeking the Lord in our own lives. We can't do it. We can't think that the Lord is going to bless our church if we're not seeking Him. Also, we do a lot of complaining about our country, but the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Amen. That's what God says. Yes. What most believers do today would not be classified as seeking the face of God. Seeking the face of God is coming before God, realizing there's nothing that I can do. Lord, I need your help. Yes. I need you through every day of my life. It doesn't matter if I'm having a good day or a bad day. It doesn't matter if I'm just coasting through life. We need the Lord's help. Amen. It's going to take some effort. They had to put in an effort in that time, and also later when we see the actual tabernacle come to fruition. The tabernacle, it was set up in the middle of the tribes. Their tents would be surrounding this tabernacle. They did not have to put forth much of an effort to get there. But now, because of their sin, they had to put forth some effort. They had to leave the camp. They had to intentionally go. And that is how we should pray as well. It's good for us to be intentionally praying for things. Yeah. You know, many times we come into the house of God and praise the Lord, we have a prayer meeting, and I'm not mocking that at all. We should have a prayer meeting, and we take prayer requests and all of those things because it's important for us to pray. It's important for us to pray together as a church body. Those things are important. But many times we'll come and we'll ask, does anybody have a prayer request? And somebody will raise their hand. Yeah, pray for so-and-so. And they'll ask that, and it's a good thing to pray for them. But shame on us if we're asking other people to pray when we haven't brought it before the Lord ourselves. Lord, help us. You see, we need to put forth an effort, intentionally going before God, intentionally seeking His face. When a person is unsaved, they must do something to be saved. It's a very intentional decision they have to make. They have to understand that they're a sinner. They're on their way to hell, and that Christ paid their sin debt, that wage of sin that they owed, which was death. Christ paid that for them, and they have to make the decision to trust Christ as their Savior. But yet after a person is saved, we need to intentionally be going before God as well. And God longs for us to come before Him. He longs for that. He wants us to come before Him. The decision that an unsaved person has to make is to repent of their sins, accept Christ. But for many believers, the last time they intentionally went before God is when they got saved. Lord, help us. Here in the nation of Israel, we had to put forth an effort, and we all know that we live in a digital world. I love that we have the capabilities to run live streaming for our services, but I do know without a doubt that there are people around this world who have stopped bodily attending church because they've convinced themselves that live stream is the same. It's not the same. We need to make an intentional effort to get here. I understand there are physical incapabilities and all of those things. I understand those things. What I'm talking about is able-bodied people that will not put forth the effort to be in the house of God when the doors are open. Lord, help us. You see, live stream is, it's a wonderful thing. It's not the same as being in church. It's not the same at all. And if we think that it is, we have a worldly mindset. We need to be in the house of God. We need to put forth the effort to be here when the doors are open. Why do we have such weak Christianity that plagues our world? It's because we have churches that are filled with slothful believers. We have churches that say that they want to follow the Lord, but yet they are forsaking the assembling of themselves together. Not only are people not coming to services, but we have churches that are canceling services. Well, just stay at home. Lord, help us. I got a invitation yesterday and knocked on a person's door, and they gave me an invitation from their church. And as I was looking over the invitation, it's a place here in Oxford. The invitation said this: join us for service on Sunday morning, but you can also just join us virtually for the same service. You may hear the exact same thing on the live stream that you hear in service, but I can guarantee you're not going to feel the same spirit on the live stream you're going to feel in service. Why? Because when we're here, we're obeying the Spirit of God. We're obeying the Word of God. We understand that we're here. We're here. We can encourage each other. We can sing with one another. We can pray with one another. We need to put forth an effort to please the Lord. You know, I can think of stories that missionaries have told me of believers putting their life on the line to go to church. I think of ones that are in places in which you cannot preach the gospel. You cannot own a copy of Scripture. You can't have those things. But yet those believers that understand it's important for us to be in church, and they will sneak themselves around into these little dark rooms and all of that just so they can hear the Word of God. Yet we live here in a free country, and most believers will not even get out of their homes and get in their car and drive a few minutes down the road to be with the church. Shouldn't be that way. No, we need to put an effort forth and go before the Lord, understanding, Lord, I'm going to put forth an effort to serve you and to go before you. We need to be willing to share our faith. Be willing to tell others about the Lord. But that's going to take some effort. It's absolutely going to take some effort. Notice, these people, not only did they have to put forth an effort, but also they would be seen publicly. Remember, at this tabernacle, it was outside of the camp. And look at verse 8, if you will. And it came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door. And notice, looked after Moses. So at the end of verse 7, notice, and it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. They're going to the same tabernacle that they would watch Moses go to. That's where they were going to seek the Lord. And it says they're the ones who sought the Lord. So when they were going out to this tabernacle, notice, everyone around could see that they were going there. They could see Moses. Notice, they all stood in their tent door. It didn't say, they had to go to this certain spot and they could see between some trees or some rocks or whatever it was and catch just a glimpse of somebody walking through. No, they could stand right at the door of their tent and see who was going to worship the Lord. They could see that. The ones that were going to seek the Lord, they were not worried about what other people were going to think. They weren't worried about that. Well, you go to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Isn't that a little overboard? It's not enough. Each and every one of us, we need more of the preaching of the Word of God. We need to come before the Lord even more than we do. This world thinks that we're strange. They would see Moses going there, they would see the others going there as well. And if we are biblically going before the Lord, people will see that, and it will be they will see a difference in our lives. We're not to go before the Lord so that people will see us, but also we should have the courage of Daniel, that when they said, when they told him that no one can be praying to God, everyone has to be praying to the king, Daniel did not say, okay, well, I guess I don't need to be seen publicly. No, he went to the same exact spot that he went before. He kept going. He kept serving the Lord. He kept going before the Lord, kept praying to God. And what did we see there? God did a great work. You say, yeah, God did a great work, but he was cast into the den of lions first, but God brought him through that den of lions. He brought him through it. He shut the mouths of lions, and he'll do the same thing for us as well. We cannot be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going before the Lord. Notice we're going to be seen publicly. Should not be seen that way to make a name for ourselves, but to point others to Christ. When someone asks, oh, well, why do you go to church so much? The answer should never be, well, it's just a good thing to do. No. It's because I need the Lord's help. That's why we come to the house of God. This world, they do not like that we go before the Lord. Ones are going to try to stop us, but we need to continue going before the Lord. We should be willing to stand for God in our homes and in our churches and in our towns and in our workplaces. We need to be willing to be acknowledged as a follower of Christ. We need to be willing to be acknowledged of that. But you know what we find too often? We find ones who are like Peter. Ones who will stand up and they'll take a sword and even slice the ear off a soldier for Jesus Christ. But when somebody finds them alone and they say, aren't you a follower of Christ? No, I don't know that person. And we reject Christ because we're afraid of what they're going to think about us. Church, we need to be a light in our community, a light in our workplace. If we're going before God, this world is going to see a difference in our lives. Peter was a man who was willing to defend his Savior, yet that same night denied him three times. Three times. This man that no doubt was a strong man. No doubt he was a man that that the people could look at, and they obviously knew who Peter was. They knew this man by his stature and his occupation and all of those things. They knew who this man was, but when it came down to it, when this world came against him, though he was willing to draw his sword in the crowd, he was unwilling to stand alone. And that would be the case of many believers. If we're not going before the Lord boldly, we're not going to stand when we're alone. Absolutely not. Notice these people also, they had to be willing to be separated. If we're going to the Lord, if we're going boldly before the Lord, we must be willing to be separate. One who was going to the tent would not only have been seen of others, but he would have been seen being separated from the others. And notice it says there that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the under the tabernacle of the congregation. Notice, it doesn't say everyone went. It says everyone that went. The ones that did go, they went unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was out the camp. If they went to seek the Lord, then those are the ones that were going, and they were going to be seen as separate from the others. There's times in this life in which if we're going to go before the Lord and follow the Lord in the path that He wants for our lives, it's going to take some separation. And sometimes that separation is going to be from other, quote, believers. Ones that are not good for us to be around. Ones that are dragging us down. Ones that are being a stumbling block to us. Separate from them. Do not be ugly about it or anything like that. But what I'm saying is this. There's ways in which the Holy Spirit is trying to guide us. But if we are hanging around with people that we should not be with, we're not practicing biblical separation. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel, but we are to live like Christ while we're doing it. Be biblically separated. Many times the Christian who's trying to live for the Lord and do what is right will be persecuted and attacked. And many times those attacks will come from professing believers worse than they will come from the world. There's many believers who will say, well, I just don't understand why you think you have to live that way. Well, I just don't understand why you think you have to dress that way or only listen to that music. Because the Bible says so, that's why. But many of those attacks will come from professing Christians. We need to be willing to be separated. I've had people who have came to me and asked things like this. Well, when are we going to liven up the music? Well, there's plenty of churches that have that lively music you're talking about, that rock music. You can go there if you're not going to get it here. Amen. I've had people say this. When are we going to start small groups? Just have those little Bible studies. It's not happening. When are we going to start allowing some other versions of the Bible? Yeah. Even in a independent fundamental Baptist church, people ask these questions. The truth of the matter is, there's a lot of attacks that come from professing Christians. A lot of them. And all of these attacks that I just talked to you about, all of these questions and accusations have came from ones who would call themselves Christians. Church, we need to understand that just because someone says that they're a believer, it doesn't make them saved. And many believers do not act like believers. But we should not allow that to distract us from the work that we're called to do. Shouldn't allow it to distract us. Do not let yourself get downtrodden. Do not allow Satan to make you feel defeated. Know that we can keep going for God, because if we desire to go before God, it's going to take some effort on our part. We have to understand we got to put that effort forth. There's going to be ones who do not agree with what we're doing, but we have to understand they may not agree, but if we're following the Bible, that's all we have to do. Amen. Is follow God. As we studied in the past, we know that the children of Israel said, notice when Moses was up on the mountain, they said, "We wot not what has become of him." They said, "Moses, he's been up on the mountain, and we don't know where he went." And because of their lack of patience, they turned to idolatry. But we see here that they're not making the same mistake. Praise the Lord for the times we actually learn from our mistakes. Amen. And don't just keep returning to that same thing. Notice we see that Moses was up on the mountain before, and they said, "Well, we don't know what's happened to him, and so make us a God that we can worship." Well, now we see that as Moses went out to the tabernacle in verse 8, it says, "And it came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle that all the people rose up." Hopefully we know what all means. Amen. "And stood every man in his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle." These people, they knew exactly where Moses was. They knew exactly what Moses was doing. He was going to worship God, to go before God on their behalf. We see that they're watching Moses all the way to the tabernacle, and that's a good sign. It shows at least some repentance. Repentance is a change of heart that results in a change of action. That's what repentance is. The children of Israel, if they can change their way, then by the grace of God, we can too. It doesn't matter what sin has been plaguing your life, whatever besetting sin you've just had a part of your life for so long, and it makes you feel defeated, and Satan has came to you saying, "Oh, well, you'll never get over that, so just learn to live with it." No, we can get over that by going before God and saying, "God, I need your help. I need the victory over this sin." He'll give you the victory. But we need to intentionally be going before God, telling God, "Lord, I need your help." You know, there's nothing we're going to bring before God that is going to be news to God. Nothing at all. He knows it all. You know what he's waiting for? He's waiting for us to humble ourselves and bring it to him. God knows the sin that we struggle with. Whatever the sin is in your life or in my life, God knows those things. It's not hidden from him. And many times we'll say, "Well, I just don't understand why God's not helping me with this," because we're not going before him. We're not asking him to help us with it. The same would be true if when I was growing up. I can remember I was having some issues with one of the subjects in school, and of course I was homeschooled, and I was having some issues with this subject, and my parents could see that as many times as I was rubbing my head and all of those things, not quite beating my head against the table, but wanting to, amen, they could see that I was struggling. But you know when they would come over and help? When I would say, "Hey Dad, hey Mom, I need help with this. I need help with this equation here. I need help with this thing that I'm trying to do in my school here." Then they would come. Not because they didn't know I needed help before, but because I didn't ask. Didn't ask for help. But as soon as I asked for help, guess what? They were right there. And God is the same way. He's waiting for us to help, or to ask for help. He's waiting for us. God can help you. We just need to go before Him. Then notice lastly this evening, notice the presence of God that was witnessed. Notice we see that the tabernacle, it was taken out of the camp. We see that these people here, there was some effort that had to be put forth. But after that effort was put forth, we know that the presence of God was witnessed there. Look at verse 9 and 10, if you will. It says, "And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door." Why were they worshiping? Because the presence of God was there. Because they saw the presence of God. They saw that God had sent His presence down there at the tabernacle. As we've looked through this book of Exodus, we have seen that God has led the Israelites with the cloud and also the pillar of fire at night. And here, even after the Israelites have sinned, even after they turned to idolatry, after they lost everything, all because of the love of God and the long-suffering of God, we see that He still descends upon the tabernacle. The cloud that God was using to guide them now comes down there at the tabernacle as a sign of letting them know that He is not out of their reach. He's there because He cares for us. Notice here, God is still a just God. He still hates sin. He doesn't like the sin. He's a loving God. He's faithful to us. James 4:8, "Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you." When these people were desiring to worship God, God was there. He was there for them to worship. Church, each and every one of us, we need God's help, and we need to draw closer to God. We need to come before Him. No one is as close to God as they could be. And why do we put limits on the presence of God? You say, "Well, I don't put a limit on the presence of God." How close have we gotten to God? Because if every day we're not striving to draw closer to Him, then we're limiting God's presence in our life. We're limiting it. And that's simply because of the pride of our hearts. Praise the Lord, God showed us over and over in His Word that He cares for us. He desires to commune with us. He desires for us to know how much He loves for us. After everything that this world did to Him over and over and over again, we see as we read through the Scriptures that God gave opportunity after opportunity for man to come back to Himself. He gave those opportunities. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. You've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. From the youngest to the oldest here, can I tell you this? God is extending an invitation for you to come unto Him tonight. Trust in Him as your personal Savior. Just as that young girl did today when she 8, 9 years old, came before God and trusted Christ as her Savior, and her eternity is forever settled in heaven. And yours can be too if you're not saved here tonight. Get saved. Maybe you're here and you are saved. You know that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. Praise the Lord for that. But can I tell you this here today? No matter how long you've been saved, you can still draw closer to God. You can still draw closer to Him. Maybe you're saved and maybe you've been living like the prodigal son. You've been away from the Lord. God is calling you back to Himself. And just as we saw the children of Israel here, and just as we saw in the instance of the prodigal son, it doesn't matter how far we've strayed from God, God is still there for us. And we saw the prodigal son come back to his father after he came unto himself, realized that he would have it better as a servant in his father's house than where he was. And he came back there, he found his father with open arms. Maybe you've been living like the prodigal son. You need to come back to God tonight. He's extending this invitation to you. God is waiting for you. Let's be sure that we are going before the Lord. Church, God wants to do great things through our lives. He wants to do great things through our family. He wants to do great things through our church. But we have to go before Him. Understand, nothing is out of God's control. Nothing at all. Let's take our needs before God. Let's draw nigh unto Him. It's going to cost us some, what we would consider friends. It's going to cost us that. Some are not going to understand why we obey the Bible. But we should still obey the Bible. Because of the presence of God that is so sweet. We sang about it. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Amen. Let's go before God, understanding that sweet presence that's there for us. Let's go boldly before Him. Let's